Hey everybody, Trevor Yom here, host of the Repackaging Sustainability Podcast. I'm here with Christopher Durham, my good friend. Really excited to have you on. Welcome to the pod, Chris. How are you?
Oh, very good. Thank you, Trevor. It's great to have you. Good to talk to you again all the way from across the pond. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Over the past year, we've shared a few drinks. We've had quite a few in-depth conversations about the direction of sustainability. For those that haven't met you before, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization?
Absolutely. So as you said, my name is Christopher Durham. I'm the president of the Velocity Institute. For those of you who don't know the Velocity Institute is based in the United States. I actually live in Charlotte, North Carolina on the East Coast with my wife and two daughters and a cat who may join us. Who knows? She occasionally jumps up. But the Velocity Institute is an organization focused on retailer-owned brands, or depending on where you are in the world, private brand, private label, store brand, owned brand, you name it. Basically, if you shop at a grocery store, drugstore, what have you, whether it be Waitrose or Walmart, they probably have something with their name or a brand they own on it. And those are private brands. And we have placed the retailer at the very center of the world because they're the ones who own the brand. So our members are both the retailers, the manufacturers who make those products for them, and anyone else who wants to help them build those brands. Trevor and I actually met because we also have a heavy focus on sustainability, absolutely believe in it and pushing it forward. And we believe retailers have a responsibility to be more sustainable. And in fact, Trevor was at our sustainability summit here that was in Austin, Texas this year with a number of the largest retailers in the United States talking about sustainability.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Christopher. And already excited for the sustainability summit in Phoenix, Arizona. In October, right? End of October, yep. 2024. I know it seems a long way off, but
Looking for speakers. So,
yeah, and I think what I love about Velocity, if I may say, is that it's trying to really help activate private brands. I really enjoyed the summit because there was so much insight. It wasn't just about making money for the retailer, but improving brand recognition, understanding buyer habits from a sustainability perspective. And I think the conversation we're going to have today is going to at least give people a better insight what it's like to work with private brands, right? And really delve a little bit more into understanding the consumer. A lot of the people that listen to this podcast are actually friends and family as well, who are just learning for themselves about sustainability. So great to have you on, Chris, and to have your insights and your experience.
Thank you.
Our main part of the pod is Recycling Room 101. So as always, I set our guests the challenge of suggesting three topics that they would love to consign to Recycling Room 101. And so, Chris, you're on the spot. What's your first topic that you want to discuss?
Well, let me back you up a bit because my American friends won't know what the Room 101 thing is. So give us some background on that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, fair point. So Recycling Room 101, it stems from Room 101, which was actually a really popular TV program on the BBC. And it was a comedy program where you had a host and they invited a celebrity onto the show. And the celebrity would have to come up with three things that they really didn't like. And they would put them in Room 101 and they would never come out again. So the example I like to use is there's a quite a famous lady. She's a presenter called Anne Robinson and she actually tried to get the whole of Wales, which is a country, a little country attached to England, yeah, in Room 101. And of course, that was quite controversial. So we'll see if Christopher's as controversial, if he wants to put the whole of Alaska in. We'll see. Nothing against Alaska. Okay,
Chris. It's a lovely state. We'll keep it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's one of the better ones. So where do you want to start, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. So I don't know that anything is as controversial as kicking out whales. Of course, it's about sustainability. So I'd like to start with just acronyms in general. I feel like the conversation so often devolves into a lot of letters. And unless you're a professor or someone deeply immersed in it, you get lost and you just simply don't know what it's talking about. So let's talk about real things and use real words so that the rest of the world, you know, can understand the conversation and try and participate.
Are there any that spring to mind associated with sustainability or the environment? That
I mean, it's just endless. It's just endless. Any list of chemical names, all the COP stuff that's going on, this never ending in Europe. Every year there's a new version of COP this, COP that, right? It's not that I don't disagree with it. I think it's great work. That has nothing to do with it. It's just that if you're not immersed in that world, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I totally understand and agree, actually, because we've got acronyms coming out of our ears over here with legislation. I could throw out DRS, EPR.
Right.
PFAS, right? People are talking about PFAS.
PFAS, right. That's a good one. What the heck is a PFAS? Because I can tell you, if I asked my mom, she wouldn't have a clue.
Exactly. I appreciate that. And I think that what you're saying is we need to widen and broaden the conversation so that we can get more support for the good things that people are doing.
Well, we can't fix this with the academics and the scientists. There's not enough of them. If we could, it would have already been done.
That's a really good point. We need the foot soldiers, right? The people who are actually consuming products and consuming packaging to understand their place in this entire process. I think if we just dwell on one of those for a moment, the DRS, which is the deposit return scheme, is a really hot topic in the UK at the moment. It was actually delayed in terms of its implementation in Scotland, another country attached to England, only last year. And there was a huge amount of furore and investment that went into establishing a deposit return scheme in Scotland. And most people don't even know what a deposit return scheme is. But for those that can remember, you know, maybe the 60s and 70s in the UK, you used to be able to get your money back if you collected up milk bottles. And that's essentially...
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was with glass here. So, you know, Coke bottles or whatever, you could get a nickel or a dime or whatever. So if you were a 12-year-old, you could go find a dollar's worth of stuff and get some candy.
Exactly, right? And I think if we were asking our kids to think about a DRS scheme, they'd say, what on earth are you talking about? We probably need to make things a little simpler.
Here's a quick message from our sponsor, Aura. This podcast is brought to you by Aura, bringing together leading consultancy, pioneering technology, and data-led insights to help organizations meet environmental compliance and manage sustainability every day.
Okay, cool. So that's number one. What's your second topic, Chris?
Oh, my second one is just the endless focus on recyclability. It's should we be recycling? Yes, absolutely. Not saying we shouldn't. It's that when you start with recyclability and end with recyclability, that's not enough. You know, there's a reason reuse and reduce are also in those three R's. And honestly, to me, reduction should be the focus today. Recyclability is a nice to have. Reduction's a have to have if we're going to get to any kind of being more sustainability.
And you've got quite a privileged position because you've worked in a number of major retailers and now you advise a lot of retailers. Have you seen that kind of shift towards overly focusing on recycling?
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy for them because they can put the recyclable logos on the package and then say, oh, I did something and walk away, right? Problem is that's just the first step. And should they be doing it? Absolutely. No question about it. But that's the easiest first step. That's not the second, the third. That's not the hard steps. That's not actually evaluating your packaging and saying, can we use less? Is there a different type? Is there a better way to go to market? Can we keep the food fresh longer to reduce food waste? You know, it's a big, broad conversation that's got to go beyond recyclability.
Yeah. And I'm curious, in all of the conversations and debates you've had with, let's say, stateside retailers, have you had any really innovative approaches or Have you seen great examples where people are not necessarily focusing on recyclability, but more of the reduction that you're talking about?
No, no is the answer. Are they doing it in spots? Absolutely, they're doing it in spots. So was it 18 months, 2 years ago, Kroger redesigned, largest grocery store in America, traditional grocer, Kroger redesigned their milk jug. So in the U.S., we have plastic milk jugs. And just the structural redesign reduced that packaging amount by, I think it was about 20%. So at their volume, it turns into hundreds of thousands of tons of plastic.
Sure.
And they told everybody about it and it was great and that's wonderful. And okay, what about the other 20,000 SKUs?
So I see this quite a bit. There's a discrete approach to reduction mm-hmm. or improvement. And I'm not going to start preaching about data because you know my opinions on data. But I think that is a challenge for huge organizations because they're not quite sure where to target their effort. And they therefore take a discrete approach. They might even walk their own aisles and say, it'd be great if we could just take 10% off that because it would probably save us millions of dollars in logistics, right? And then they go down that rabbit hole and they do deliver a fantastic solution, but maybe only for one or two things at a time and not looking en masse and being able to make rapid change. What's your view on refillables? Have you seen much of that going on in the States?
We see a lot of people testing it. I mean, I think... if you shop the major retailers in the U.S., and they're not unlike the ones in the U.K., Tesco and those guys, scale is a challenge for refillables. So doing it at 700-800 stores and maintaining it and the labor that's associated with it in store. I know a couple of folks have tried refillables and cleaning products, and they've had some spill issues. And you get detergents and soaps on a floor, somebody slips and falls, all of a sudden – there are other conversations. So they're working on it. They're trying to figure it out. And they like the idea. Is it going to happen overnight at scale now?
I think legislation is going to play a big role. I say this pretty much daily. I was just at Paris Packaging Week, and there was such a huge emphasis upon cosmetics industry and refillables and reusables, right? Which is a hot debate because, of course, cosmetics is quite a... it's a very high revenue industry and quality.
Well, and it's $0.02 worth of product and $5 worth of packaging.
Interesting you should say that. Some of the packaging designs were out of this world, but I think that's a really interesting comment that, fragrances, for example, is just marketing, right? It's the bottle is what a lot of people
or eyeshadow buy. Or lipstick or, there's pressed powder this big.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you were trying to recycle that idea, right? Ironically, you're trying to make people realize it's not just about recyclability. What would your advice be to these large organizations?
Well, I think it goes towards what you're talking about. So you can absolutely start with walking the stores. Absolutely. And there will be low-hanging fruit. Honestly, it's usually extra packs. So why is this in an outer box kind of thing, right? You can absolutely start by talking to your manufacturers and your suppliers and those things and start reaching out and saying, we're looking to reduce, we're looking for innovation in this. And you'd be shocked by how much is out there. And then the third point being exactly what you guys do. It's about the data, right? So there are things to be learned about your packaging and your products from the data. If you don't collect it, if you can't sort it, if you can't analyze it, you're not going to learn anything.
Good advice. Yeah, thanks, Chris. And I didn't pay you to say that. final topic before I choose if any of them are worthy of going into Recycling Room 101. So what's your last topic, Chris?
Absolutely. The last topic is really reframing sustainability as a personal issue that matters to me and my family and not as a scientific or academic issue. Doesn't mean that it can't be scientific and academic, but it means if we're going to get the rest of the world to engage, I have to understand why it matters to me. Does it help me take care of my family, my home? Will the food taste better? whatever those things are, but they're very real, tangible, day-to-day things. Such that, yes, it turns out the food does taste better if you shop local. Turns out you're probably also shopping in season because strawberries don't grow in London in December, which also reduces your carbon footprint, right? So there's a lot of things that we can talk about that I can do that will impact my life, my home, my family, that don't necessarily cost any more money. They're just making better choices. And what I like to tell people is, we're really saying you want to take better care of your home and your family. Let's expand that to the entire earth, right? So I'm going to, as you guys would say, Hoover my house, or, you know, whatever it may be. I'm going to take care of this space that I own and pay a mortgage on. Well, I actually own the bigger space too.
I love that. I think you've really well articulated the biggest challenge with sustainability, right? We can do all the analysis and we can do all the marketing and we can create fantastic packaging. But if individuals don't take responsibility and don't understand the impact of their actions, it will all be for nothing. And we'll all spend our time in the sustainability industry patting each other on the back and saying, job well done. But until the Durham household actually can make informed decisions, which look after your team, it's not going to make enough of a difference.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be the millions of families. It's got to be the single mom. It's got to be, you know, just making smarter, better decisions that are economically smart for her, that make the food taste better, that make her family healthier and safer.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so partly I'm inclined to, I do agree with all three of your topics, but I think the one that appeals to me the most is the last one, reframing sustainability, because I think that is going to be our biggest challenge generationally as well, because sustainability is really only just starting. And I think it's families, it's communities, it's groups of people that are going to make the biggest difference. Yes, the science is important. The data is important. But
no question.
Unless we can actually make that accessible and make it common sense, we won't progress as a society. So reframing sustainability, that's going into Recycling Room 101. Well done, Chris. I think three fantastic topics. Good stuff. So before we finish up today, I always like to have a Teach Trev fact. I'm always on the hunt for the most obscure, interesting information I can find out. So Chris, what's your Teach Trev fact for this edition?
Teach Trev, you probably know this one anyway. But so in the United States, we're in the private brand business. This is what we do all day, every day. We're this wide and this deep in private brand. So when we're talking about sustainability in the United States, the easiest way for someone to make a more sustainable choice is to honestly buy natural and organic products. If it's certified by our federal government as organic, there's no GMOs, there's no chemicals, you know, there's all these things that automatically will make it a bit more sustainable.
What's a GMO, Chris? You just use an acronym.
There's one of those, genetically modified organism, or not organization, okay. Organism. but that's the problem, right? So that's the whole thing. Where that jumps into the private brand space is what most people don't know is the largest natural and organic branding in the United States is owned by a retailer. So owned by Kroger, the largest grocer here in the U.S. It's called Simple Truth. It's $3 billion plus dollars in annual sales. So pretty large, about 1,500 SKUs in the set. So a very, very large brand. So when you start looking at some of these little niche, you know, national organic brands, absolutely try them. Love to see you try new stuff. But there's one here in the U.S. that is just dominating in size, and Kroger's committed to it, and they're telling their customer about it, and they're trying to make their lives better and give them tasty food.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Chris. It's been a real pleasure to have you on. I love the variety of guests that we have on the Packaging Sustainability podcast. And it's always great to just get someone's incredible industry insight. And for my listeners and the viewers, go and use your search engine, look up Velocity Institute, because the work that Christopher and the team are doing at Velocity is fantastic. Thanks very much for your time today, Chris. It was great having you on.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Trev Talks. If you'd like to be featured, or you've got a question you'd like us to discuss in the next Trev Talks episode, simply drop me an email using the email address in our show notes. Trev Talks is brought to you by Aura. Aura brings together sustainable packaging consultancy, pioneering technology, and expert-led insights to positively impact your business and our planet. Find out more about how Aura is helping leading businesses to achieve their sustainability objectives.